Reality Daily listeners, what is up? It is Jeremy here. We are talking all things Challenge All-Stars 4 premiere episode, and I can't do it alone. I'm doing it with my boy Naveed. We are back once again, my ride or die. Naveed, what's going on, brother?
Doing good, JB. I'm glad to be back, and you know what? Similar to All-Stars 4, it's the best of the best covering the challenge, so I'm excited to talk about it with you.
I agree. And honestly, Naveed, I don't think I've ever been this excited to cover a season than I have been for this one. And, you know, this season filmed 2 years ago, I believe, in 2022. We've known about the cast for about that long. And this two-part premiere did not disappoint at all.
Yeah, and you could tell that it's been 2 years because Cara Maria doesn't seem to have as much, like, operations done on her face. Especially when it comes to like the Botox and whatever, she seems to be like her natural, like pre lip fillers and all that stuff. So, that's kind of the way I can tell like how long it's been since this season's been filmed.
Damn, Cara's catching strays.
Which by the way, I want to say like she's catching strays already, but I actually liked Cara. Like from the first two episodes, I actually liked Cara, and we'll get more into that. But that was a pleasant surprise.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I thought everyone in this episode, you know, got some kind of screen time. Everyone kind of plays a role. We saw that in that opening package, right, where it was all of these people. Like it was like, oh, starring this person, like Cam and Leroy. And, you know, so we got to see everyone kind of in their role, if you will. And I thought that was cool to see. What did you think of that?
I appreciate them trying something new. I thought it was a bit weird, and I thought it was a bit cringy. Like, the whole idea that they're walking down, like, a cornfield or whatever the fuck they were doing, and then, like,
It was a vineyard.
Vineyard, yeah, and the idea that they can't see each other, and then they're supposed to meet in the middle and, like, hug it out, and all meantime, they're getting, like, some sitcom nicknames. Like, for example, Kefla, it was, like, your great uncle or whatever it was, or, like, I don't even remember what they even said. For Brad, I think they're, like, the one of the best or something ridiculous. I thought it was a bit cringy.
Brad is the beard.
The beard, yeah. That's true. But, I don't know, I thought it was a bit cringy on my end.
You know, I thought it was, like, an ode to the 90s, or, like an old sitcom. And that's what All Stars is. It's a celebration of the history of the show, and I think that you get that vibe in. But this season, I feel like, has more, you know, current storylines than most, just because we obviously have seen people, like last season we saw people like Wes and Jordan on, and you know, a lot of these people are rumored to be on the Challenge 40 cast, so there's a lot of things that will maybe go and mix and match between the flagship show and the All-Star show, if you will.
Yeah, it's just a bit strange always seeing like some of these people who a few years ago you considered to be like mainstays and you know, just the like complete figures of the challenge and just staples that you expected them to see every single time. Now they're on the older side, and you have to kind of deal with that and seeing like some of your all-time favorite players now kind of losing a bit of their step and like losing a bit of their muscle. Like I'll be the first one to say it, Leroy doesn't look as like jacked as he used to. Like he looks a bit like on the smaller end now. He looks a bit older, and it's really just like shocking to see like the change over the years.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have a mix of people like Leroy, who had only taken 2 years off, Cam, who had only taken, you know, 2 years off. But we had also seen people like Kefla, who had not been a part of the show since the very first season. And we see Flora, who hasn't been around for a very long time either. So a big range of people. And we also start to see, you know, some conversation about, you know, how those people that are maybe a little bit more experienced, have those relationships, are going to have maybe an advantage in the game versus others like Avery, like Adam, people that don't have as many, you know, connections. Like I think Adam before the daily was like referring to it as a mission, because the last time he was on the challenge, you know, that was the vernacular for it. And like Veronica and Tina, people that have done, you know, all-star challenges before, were like, no, Adam, like, it's a daily now. It's not a mission anymore. So it was like, I think that that dynamic could play a big role in terms of how the season goes out. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we get to this daily? Because we got two episodes to talk about, so I don't want to waste too much time, but I also don't want to not give attention to something that doesn't deserve it, you know?
No, no, let's go. Let's get into it.
Yeah. So the daily is a pretty standard one to start off the season. The daily challenge, it's called Reach for the Stars. And so each person has their own lane. It's run in one. It's one heat. Everyone's participating at the same time. They have to go down the hill, and they have eight different stars with pegs in them, and they have to mix. They have to match each peg with the star, and then go to the next one. And Brandon referred to it as like suicides on steroids, which I think is a very proper way to kind of incorporate, like describe what the challenge was like. But this is an important challenge because the three top male finishers and the three top female finishers will receive a star. And the stars are kind of where the format of the game is going to take shape. So the six people that will make the final at the end of the season are going to be the players that are holding the stars. You have to have a star in order to get to TJ's final. But throughout the weeks, stars can be stolen, stars can be distributed to other people, and eliminations is where the star distribution will, you know, kind of change, if you will. But the six players, the three men and the three women that start, are going to be the ones who have stars at the beginning of the game. So it's a very important mission. And you also don't want to be in the last four of each group, because those are the people that are going to be eligible for elimination. So going through it, you know, Kara is going to be the first person to finish this for the men and the women. So Kara is going to win the first star. The other women that win stars are Rachel finishes second, I believe, and then Avery finishes in third. And then for the men, Brad's going to be first, and then Adam is going to finish second. That's a bit of a surprise because we had not seen Adam in a challenge in, I think, 17, 18 years, something like that. And then Brandon's going to win the third star for the men. And then the bottom four for the women are going to be Flora, Jasmine, Tina, and Veronica. But they're going to be safe because this first elimination is a male elimination. It's going to be Derek, Leroy, Steve, and Tyree as the bottom four men in the challenge. So those are the four that the house has to choose from between those four. And the people that are safe, not the winners and not the bottom, are forming the middle group. And the middle group gets to vote for whomever goes into elimination. What do you think of this format, Naveed? Because it's a new format, which I appreciate. We've seen variations of this, but not like this exact configuration of it.
Maybe I'm a dummy. I just don't understand why, like, it's like, how does this not encourage people to just throw dailies? And like, when I say throw, I don't mean like they get like last place or something, but I mean just like just enough where they're not winning and causing enemies, and then just and then also not enough where they're like possibly up for elimination.
I mean, you don't want to finish last.
I guess, but
last,
like,
you're up for elimination.
No, no, but I'm saying like Johnny Bananas, I think, famously said that like for I think was it Challenge USA 2 or Ride or Dies, it was one of those seasons. He would like actively encourage like him and his partner or him and his team to throw the competition, so then that way they could get they wouldn't get the blood on their hands for like making a decision of who to throw in, but also they wouldn't be up for elimination. So like I think that was like that. So I wonder if like, this strategy will be like the strongest for this season, because if you think about it, you don't really want to piss off all these like all stars. You might as well just come like I don't know fourth or fifth in a challenge, and then just hopefully you get a star down the road.
I think in a individual challenge like this one, it's a lot easier to do that. But when you're in a team challenge, like the second episode was, it's much harder to do that. So I'm sure we'll have, I think next week it's going to be a pairs challenge. So, like, you know, we're going to see these people work in teams, pairs, individuals, just like any normal challenge season. So I think that that will help mitigate that a little bit. I'm personally a huge fan of this format. I think that I like the fact that you have to earn something in order to win, but also you don't necessarily have to win something. If you have the right allies who are able to gift you a star to get you to a final, then you're in a good spot. So I think that is I think it's a good format. I think that it's not perfect. I will agree with you on that. There are some flaws, but I think every format would have a flaw or two at least. So me, big fan. And maybe it will grow on you too, Naveed. But yeah, so obviously this season has pre-existing relationships, just as any challenge does. But given the fact that it's an all-star season that spans over so many, there are a lot of, you know, weird groups. So I guess we'll talk about the men first, just because that is the group that is up for elimination in this one. So between the 12 guys, Leroy is probably the most well-connected to anybody because he has played the longest and the most recently. Plus, he also has his fiance in the house with Cam and the mother of his child. So that is obviously a huge advantage for Leroy, and it's going to play a big part in him surviving this first round, because that's really all they have to go off of, and no one wants to really cross Leroy and Cam at this point. So that is going to play a huge role. Ryan also is going to play a big role in this, in the politicking in this round, because he wants to save his friend Derek. Derek and him have been friends through the years on the challenge, and that is going to play a massive part. So Steve and Tyree, the two least connected players among the men, are the ones that are going into elimination. The others, Ace, Adam, Brad, Brandon, Jay, Tony, it's a very weird group of people, right? Right, Naveed? Like, none of them are really well connected with each other. Like, Jay and Tony, we saw a little bit of an alliance there, maybe, because they were, I think, on back-to-back seasons of The Real World, I think about 10 years ago. And we see that more maybe in the next day, but I feel like that was an alliance that was made in the house. Like, there aren't a whole lot of, like, pre-existing relationships on the men's side as there are on the women's side.
Absolutely, and I gotta say, I'm so glad that Tony's back, because it's Tony time, and Tony time just means mid-time, because my man is not gonna do the greatest with these dailies, as he showed with episode one. I have a feeling that Tony, in general, this season, JB, is gonna have, an average, middle game elimination, and then he's going to go out. And I think that's going to be the end of Tony time. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just have that feeling.
Look, three guys are going to make the final, okay? Let's go based off of just what we know. Three guys are making the final. Who's it going to be?
Based off of what we know. Give me Leroy for one of them. I think that's a safe bet, because he just seems to be so connected and stuff like that. After that, I think you got to go with someone. I think I'm going to go with Ace. I know that's like a random prediction there, but I feel like Ace has just been so quiet, and then he just randomly gets inserted in these like random scenes and stuff like that. That makes you go like, I wonder why he's being shown. Maybe he's going to be shown later, so I'm going to say Ace. And then give me the beard, Brad.
Yeah, I think Leroy and Brad are probably the two biggest favorites. And that third spot, you know, Tony's going to be a candidate for that third spot. But I think, like, you know, Ace, Adam, Jay, even, you know, there are going to be some potential players that could fight for that third spot. But yeah, I think that this episode we really got to see, you know, maybe Ryan also could compete for that third spot as well. Someone that seems to be well inserted into some friendships and alliances. The women's side, I think, is much more interesting. And we'll talk more about the women's side after the elimination, just because we want to kind of wrap a bow on this first episode. You know, the first episode didn't have a whole lot of, you know, meat. Have a lot of just like, you know, hey, here's, you know, it's the first episode. Let's welcome everybody. You know, when I saw that it was a two-part episode, I honestly thought it would be like the first episode would be some introduction and just like it would just be one big episode out of that's 2 hours. But I was really glad to see that there were two eliminations in this episode. Well, one and a half eliminations. We'll get to the second episode in a second. But Steve and Tyree are going to play the first arena elimination of the season. It's called Catch a Falling Star. And in this, there's a giant, you know, pool of, you know, muck. Like, I don't, like, they said it was a gross pool. And they have all these balls and then these mini balls, like, think like stress ball size. You know, they have, some of them have stars on them. So every ball that has a star on it goes in the tube. And the first player to reach 12 stars gets in. Gets the win. Tyree is going to be off to an early lead in this one. I want to say it was like 5 or 6 balls to 1 at one point. But they have different strategies. Tyree is going to just, once he finds one, he's going to go up and he's going to put it in his tube. But Steve is trying to corner all of the balls and try to get as many as he can to his side. And then just once he has a couple, you know, go right back and forth to get all the balls. That appears to be the more effective strategy because Tyree is on ball number 11 and he doesn't realize that all of the other balls Steve knows the location of. So Steve is going to, you know, get all the balls in and he's going to just eke out a win there, get that 12th ball in before Tyree does. So Steve is going to win the first elimination of the season. What do you think about this elimination, Evie?
It was fun, but I feel like it really irked me the way that Steve, like, all just relaxed, walked up for the 12th ball to put it into this can. He was like, he gave like a little salute to like Tyler. Like, in my opinion, like, if I was Tyler, I would just like full on tackle the dude and just grab the last ball. Like, motherfucker, you're gonna take like 10 seconds just to go walk outside of the pool and to put your ball in? Like, don't think you're just going to salute me with me being, like, happy about it. So I just think that Steve was just being a bit, like, rubbing it in too much at that point. What did you think about it?
I didn't see it as that. I think it was honestly more of just, I think it was edited maybe a little bit differently than how it actually was in the episode. I don't think that he was trying to do that. But I thought also, it was a cool elimination.
Sorry, I just going to interrupt here. Sorry about that, Jimmy, but I can't believe Steve forgot that he put his own ball in hiding. And this is like the grand strategy. Like sure, the strategy was effective, but his brain certainly wasn't.
Yeah, you know, Steve is kind of getting this, like, I don't know, like, dumb model edit. And I don't know. It just doesn't all add up to me. Because I don't really think that he forgot that he had the 12th ball there. I think it was just made that way to add some suspense to the result. But, you know, he's been seeing this like hand model guy, hand jobs, all that, the jokes about the hand jobs and all that. I feel like he's being portrayed as this like dumb jock model. And maybe that will get him a little bit further. I don't know, but that's his edit at the moment. And I'm not too sure it has more legs beyond that, which makes me think he's an early boot for the season.
Maybe, but like they also gave him like a very like heroic like epicness type of like edit when he was like telling Brandon and like all this stuff like you could get your star back or you know, I don't know. It's very you're right, the way they edit him is very weird, but the hand drop jokes are very funny. I won't give them that.
Yeah, so Steve, because he wins the elimination, he is allowed to steal a star from any player. He can steal a male star to keep for himself, or he can steal a female star to give to a female. What do you think about that aspect of it? Do you think that we're going to see some people steal other people's stars to give to the other gender.
Well, it's definitely interesting, and I like the concept of it. The thing I'm interested to see is, like, what's stopping you from being like, I don't want to star in general, because that'll just increase my chances of, like, going in, right? Like, I think long-term wise, it might be better just to, like, not take a star right now and then try to snipe one at the end. Maybe I'm getting too caught up in, like, the game theory of it all. But I do like the fact that, like, let's say Leroy goes in and, like, already has a star and is like, well, I want to get one for Cam, so I'm just going to toss this one to Cam. Like, I think that's a pretty fun aspect of the game.
No, and I'm glad you brought up that point you made about not taking a star, because, yeah, a star does put a target on your back, because it can either A, get stolen, or B, you know, people want to call you out in elimination. So yeah, I think that is, because what happens if like you go, like, say for instance, now that Steve has a star, right? Let's say Steve goes into elimination next week with Leroy and he loses. What happens to Steve's star? Does it go to Leroy and then Leroy can give a star away?
Like, that's true. How does that work? Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
And maybe we'll find out at some point. But Steve is gonna take Brandon's star between the three men. He can't take Brad's star because Brad has safety, because he was the overall winner of the challenge. So he can steal between the men, Adam or Brandon's, and he's gonna choose Brandon because Brandon does vote for him. Although we don't know exactly if Adam voted for him or not. But we do know that Brandon voted for Steve, so it adds that understanding as to why he would do that. But yeah, so episode one kind of ends right there, and then we go into episode two. We start to see a little bit of this tension between Laurel and Nicole, and they obviously have done a challenge. They've done some challenges together. They did X on the Beach together, the winter season, X on the Peak. They are X's to the point of where Laurel says that she doesn't even think of her, which is Laurel's way of just saying she doesn't like you. What do you think about Laurel's, like, you know, trying to ignore this whole Nicole deal?
You know those, like, court cams where, like, they have, like, murderers and, like, the family of, like, the victim in, like, the same room? I think yeah. Those ones have less tension than what we've seen here between Nicole and Laurel. Like, good grief. Like, you can't Laurel eat in, like, another room? Like, why is Nicole shaking her, like, a protein shake that hard? It's all, you know, you can cut the tension with, like, with a butter knife that's, like, super dull and hasn't been used for, like, 10 years. It's that unreal.
Yeah, and other castmates are going to pick up on, like, the tension that they have. But namely, there's a confessional that Nicole had that I want to point out, because she mentioned that, like, Laurel's like, you are a 37-year-old beautiful woman. Like, why are you acting like this? Why are you saying she's beautiful? Why do you need to say that sentence with that word in it? And obviously we know from the super trailer that they are going to kiss at some point during the season. So that is, like, you know, we know there is some more that meets the eye, at least in terms of this. What do you think about this whole Laurel Nicole dynamic? Because I love it.
Dude, it's tricky. And, like, Nicole is, like, such a loser, because, like, Laurel is calling her out for some very fair stuff. Like it's a classic gaslighting technique when someone goes, like, I'm sorry I made you feel that way or whatever. And Laurel's like, no, bitch, you have to say, you know, I'm sorry I did this to you. And you have to show accountability. And then what does Nicole do? Nicole's like, I'm going to leave this conversation because I'm uncomfortable. Well, it's like, good grief, Nicole. Like, you're the one that's, like, yelling out stuff like, I hope you're happy during challenges and all this, like, crazy stuff. Like, I'm not a huge Nicole fan. I never have been. And I do not understand how she pulls, like, the hottest chicks on the challenge.
Laurel and Nicole is going to feed family.
Yeah, it is. It's going to feed family. And we're going to be here for it. But I just cannot believe. Some part of me, JB, wishes that in, like, the mega trailer, they did not show that Laurel and Nicole would make out, because I think that, like, after seeing all the editing and stuff like that, I think that moment would have been even more epic if we didn't get spoiled up for it.
Yeah, it would have been like, you know, like, super trailers are interesting because you have to, like, you have to show something to get people to watch, right? But you also want that payoff to be nice as well. So, again, maybe not the editing choice you or I would have made, but it kind of, it brought us in. But at the same time, we would have been in regardless. Like, we would have watched regardless. We didn't need to watch a trailer to watch. But other people, maybe that brings them in a little bit closer, seeing Laurel back and seeing her with her ex, you know, who she's done shows with. So, Laurel is going to be, in my opinion, Laurel is the reason why I'm tuning in more than anybody else. She is beautiful TV.
Agreed. And I feel like at some point we're also going to get some, like, yelling or some disagreement between Cara Maria and Laurel, because they keep teasing this whole entire, like, Cara and I are sisters storyline, which is a bit interesting.
Yeah, having, like, casting director needs a raise for this season because, like, I don't necessarily like Nicole by herself. I like Nicole with Laurel because it does create a lot of tension, a lot of drama. But for the other women, too, you know, we kind of talked about the men and how there isn't a whole lot of connection amongst them as a whole. But the women, it's very different. We see, like, Laurel and Cara obviously have a lot of history. Laurel and Nicole obviously have a lot of history. Rachel, Tina, and Veronica are all in this alliance together. They are, like, this ride-or-die female alliance. Obviously, Cam is connected with Leroy, and that could, you know, cause a lot as well. But then you have other players like Jasmine, Janelle, and Ayana, who have done an all-star season together. And then the other, you know, Avery and Flora are kind of your fillers that kind of give a little bit more balance to the group, your free agents, if you will. But Ayana, Jasmine, and Janelle are going to be kind of the focal point of this second episode, more specifically Ayana and Janelle. But in the beginning, I want to say Jasmine had a confessional about Ayana where she mentioned how, like, you know, things in All Stars 2 weren't, like, super lovey-dovey, and it wasn't all roses and rainbows when it came to Ayana. It wasn't, like, malicious per se, Naveed, but it was like something's there that isn't all right.
Yeah, speaking of things that are not all right, how did Ayana pass the psych test for the season? like, what is going on here? Like, 45-minute speeches during, and then, like, they're not voting for Jack. Like, I'm very, like, confused by it all. Like, I think if someone like Leroy, who historically we've seen has, like, a pretty calm head when it comes to everything, is now reacting like this, I think there's a good chance that he's talking to a psychopath on the other end. So I'm really confused, like, what went wrong in the psych test for Ayana.
Well, let's talk about this daily challenge before we get to the voting and all of that, because it's gonna be, like, affected and whatnot. So in the daily challenge, it's called cheat codes. And that's the elimination. The daily is called Car Sick. So they're going to be divided into teams of 3 and 4. And then the van is going to be suspended in midair, and then it's going to spin around and drop down. But while it's spinning down, there's going to be a radio on that is going to reveal number clues. And the number clues are, part of, like, the suitcases that are on top of the van that they have to unlock with a 4-digit code. And then whoever can unlock the codes will, you know, puzzle pieces will come out of the suitcases, and they have to take all the puzzle pieces and build a road rules puzzle. I like the road rules, I like the road rules representation in this. We do have a lot of road rules cast members on this season. I believe there are, like, 5 or 6 that started on Road Rules, including Ayana. So it was interesting to see that. I would love for All Stars 5, Naveed, to be a Real World versus Road Rule season.
That would be a blast, and I think it's awesome that we have like some road rules, like you said, some road rules representatives. Because even like Adam Larson was like asking questions like, well, what's the mission like or whatever, and he was quickly corrected that they're no longer called missions. So it's still gems like that we see, like where you get an idea of like what road rules meant to a lot of these people, like especially with Kefla, who has a tattoo of road rules. I just think it's really awesome, and just bringing back the vehicle, I forget the name in the, but the it's the really Winnebago. A treat. Winnebago, thank you very much. It's really
the
a RV, treat.
The Winnebago.
Yeah, it's really a treat.
Yeah, so that was so it was a little ode to the Road Rules franchise for that episode, and yeah, so they said it was random teams. I have a really hard time believing that.
I don't buy it either. We saw
Cam and Leroy were together, and then we got like it was Kara and Avery, but it was also, but obviously the team that wins, Laurel and Nicole with Tony and Jay, and I was just like, how did those four specifically get together? Because that's like Nicole, Tony and Nicole come from the same Real World season. They are probably ride or dies in this. I have a really, really hard time seeing them turn on each other. They have never done that before in the challenge, I don't think. And I don't see why they would start now. Because Tony doesn't know a whole lot of people on this season. And Nicole, the people that she does know, probably don't like her a whole lot. So Tony's probably the one person that she can count on for sure. And so I could totally see them teaming up. You know, the one challenge that Jay did was Battle of the Exes 2. And from that season, we saw Avery. So Avery was on that season, and I think that was Avery's only challenge as well, if I'm not mistaken. Or she did another one. I think.
Avery, yeah, only like two, I think. I'm not. Let me.
She did Rivals 3, and she did X's 2. And from the Rivals 3 season, the only person that did that season that's on this season is Tony. So right. Like you could see and Leroy, but that was the challenge where Leroy got hurt and then they got DQ'd. So. So I wouldn't even count that for Avery. But we did see X's 2. So I could see there being some kind of alliance there with Avery and Tony and Jay and Nicole, maybe. Like, I could see some potential there. What do you think?
I could see it, but, like, I think that the alliances are also all over the place because... It's interesting to see like how people like rely on like these old relationships, right? Because like if you think about it, like someone like Avery, is she really gonna enter this game and be like, well, do I want to count or bank on these relationships that got me like terrible placements in the past, or do I want to try and make like new things going forward? And I think that's just kind of like where some of these people, like even with Kefla, same exact thing, right? Like you have a lot of these people who might have like some of these like loose relationships, but it might just be like more fun now to try something new. And that's where it gets really interesting. By the way, I just want to really highlight that. Do you think that All-Stars in general is a format where producers are a bit more loose when it comes to like the soft rigging, AKA like putting like Nicole and Laurel together on the same team, or like maybe putting Cam and Leroy on the same team? Do you think it just gets a question less?
Maybe. I mean, but also, so looking at the teams, I have the teams pulled up here. Yeah. Brandon, Cam, Leroy, and Veronica. Like, I mean, I guess Cam and Veronica did a season together. But, you know, so there was, I'm not doubting that it wasn't random, but if it definitely wasn't, I'm pretty impressed by the strong coincidences that this episode brought, because Derek and Ryan were also together with Jasmine and Janelle. All of them did All-Stars 2. Then you have, you know, Brad and Kara together. They've obviously had many a season together. I'm curious as to whether or not they'll work together this time. I think they will, just because they've been put in a position already. They were the winners of the first challenge, so I think they can see each other as assets to kind of protect one another. And then you have, like, the Road Rules team. Like, Ayana, Flora, Keithla, and Rachel were all Road Rules people, and they were all on the same team. So, like, there are reasons to believe that it wasn't rigged completely. So I thought that was, you know, kind of interesting. But maybe they will – maybe it is an opportunity for them to kind of, you know, this soft rigging, if you want to call it. But I'm curious to see if there's a pattern of it. You know, one time is a coincidence, but two times, then you can start to maybe call it out a little bit more. But going into this – going into this deliberation, it's a difficult one because there's only three women eligible and two spots in the elimination. Tina, Jasmine, and Janelle are going to be in the bottom. And Janelle is at this point saying, put me in an elimination. Like, I want to go and get my star. And I don't know, Naveed, if this was her saying, let me get a star, or let me go home.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I think, I don't know. I'm 50-50 on the two, to be honest.
Yeah, so look, Janelle had done All-Stars 2 recently. So All-Stars 2 was filmed in 2021, I believe, and this was filmed in 2022. So she's done back-to-back years where she's done the challenge. She knows what to expect. She knows what's going to happen. And I think that with Janelle, you know, there was, I think she was just like, I don't want to play in limbo. And she kind of mentioned that a little bit, where she was maybe talking about how, you know, she has a family, she has kids. Like, if she's going to win, like, she's going to make a final. And, you know, she has been to a final. So, and she knows she's capable of winning. And she knows that she can make an impact. But I think she found herself in this position. She was in the bottom for the first time. And she kind of just, like, I don't know, maybe she had a bit of a, like, bit of a small meltdown. But also at the same time, like, it can be perceived, like, if it works, like, and she goes into elimination and she wins, you know, she's betting on herself. But she's also betting on herself against Tina and Jasmine, two people that she may not say it, and she doesn't say it, but I think she likes her chances against either of them.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's also really gets tricky because you gotta start thinking, like, up until this point, how much has Ayana annoyed her and just caused her to be like, fuck this shit? Because it might have been like the straw that broke the camel's back, like what Ayana did as this episode. Because, like, you, like, I don't know, it's just so strange to go, like, to such extremes of being like, I'm quitting this game. So I think you're right. I think she probably, now that we're talking about it more, I think I'm more in the camp that she probably felt good about her chances against Jasmine and Tina and was like, throw me in there, I want to star.
Yeah. But then things are going to start to go very south. We start to see that Ayana, like, within the house, starts to kind of play this game of telephone. And she basically says that that she wants to go against Jasmine, which is completely fabricated. They even go back, like, with a flashback and say, hey, like, and confirm that Janelle never mentioned Jasmine's name. You know, obviously she knows there's a good chance it could be Jasmine going against her, but she never once threw Jasmine's name out. And Janelle hated the fact that she was put in a position to where she said something that obviously wasn't true. And, you know, basically Ayana gaslit her in front of everybody. And the whole house, when they were out at the brewery, kind of said, like, you know, hey, like, you've been accused of saying this, like, is it true? And Janelle kind of has, like, a moment in the brewery, and I think that was kind of the beginning of the end for her.
Yeah, fuck Ayana, bro. That's this is just dirty gameplay. I'm not a fan of it.
Is it dirty gameplay, or is it just gameplay?
I don't know if it's not even like the, if it doesn't even, the person didn't even say it, and like it's just like a starting like a false rumors and stuff like that. I think it's dirty.
Yeah, but like I don't even know, because it didn't have much of an impact. Like, it really didn't, because Janelle was going in regardless. So why say this? I don't even know if it's dirty gameplay, but it's more just messy gameplay.
It's also unnecessary.
Like, it was very unnecessary. And I think that's kind of what Janelle was upset about, is that, like, you know, I already asked to go in, like, so, but then you're starting to, like, accuse, like, you're starting to put words in my mouth and accuse me of being a liar because I'm saying that I'm not saying that. And now people are questioning that because you're the one that's saying that I'm saying all these things. So yeah, it's a big, giant, messy game of telephone, and Janelle is going to be the butt end of the joke, and it's just too much for her. She is packing her bags and leaving before the elimination even begins.
Can we talk about the vote, like, in general, though? Like, that whole scene like, where, like...
Let's talk about the vote.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
This also, talk about unnecessary. This was very unnecessary, and Ayana, I don't know if she knows that it's putting a target on her back, but I don't know if she cares either. Like, we saw this in her All Stars 2 appearance, where she had the whole you know, Greek salad moment, which is, in my opinion, one of the best challenge moments in the last in the last 4 years. I'll say since 2020, it was honestly an incredible moment, but. And this is up there, too, in my opinion, of just, you know, crazy, iconic moments. But this 45-minute speech from Ayana really rubs people the wrong way, especially Leroy, who kind of is just, like, gets up and is just like, I'm done. like, and he's like, I'm looking at the cameraman, too. Like, how is this going on so long? I know you're not a fan of this movie, so I'll let you have your piece now.
Brother. When was the last time you ever saw Leroy get this upset over some nonsense like bullshit? I could not tell you. And it's just ridiculous to me that production did not step in and be like, yo, like, this is supposed to be quick. You know, all the discussions you want to have should have been done beforehand. And I just think Ayana is such a hypocrite for telling Leroy to not get into, to not waste her time and to not waste the house's time. And that's why she wants to have a separate conversation. Well, like, you wasted 45 minutes time, bitch. You're like, what are you talking about? On top of everything else, she's like, you're being disrespectful to me and you're being disrespectful to Ace. And it's just, oh God, I cannot stop. I hope she is like number one target for the next vote. And I think that's most likely what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think Ayana is putting a pretty large target on her back. But we've seen in the past, you know, we saw in All Stars 2 that Ayana is capable of winning eliminations. We've seen that she is capable of, you know, making it to the final. But I do think that her path to the final is going to be a little bit harder this time because of the position that she's put herself in to start. Not a good start for Ayana, but some great TV, and I hope she continues to make great TV on her way out. But you know, if we're gonna see like single eliminations for a little bit, you know, maybe, and if the next episode is a male elimination, then you know, maybe she could have time to kind of change her spot, and also like. Given the format of the season, like only three women are eligible for elimination this round. Like there's a good chance that she could avoid that because she gets on a team that is safe or anything like that. So that's, you know, but once Ayana is eligible for a vote for an elimination, I do think that it is going to not go over well for her. And this challenge cast compared to All Stars 2 is much more stacked. Like there are, I don't think there are too many people that Ayana can beat in elimination. I think that she can beat like Tina, maybe. I think she can beat Jasmine, probably Flora, maybe Avery if it's like a strength elimination. But if she gets into the arena against Kara, Cam, Coral, Nicole, Rachel, it's curtains for her.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. All I'm gonna say is that I hope that like the next week, I hope JB, it's gonna be like one of those switches where TJ is like, all right, you thought it was a guy's day, it's psych, it's actually a girl's day again. Ayana, come down here.
I don't know if we'll go that far, but it could be a female elimination before a male elimination. You know, we'll just have to wait and see. But Tina is going to be the second vote here. And she's going to get, like, she gets 7 votes out of a possible 12 from the group. So it's a split decision to put Tina in there over Jasmine. The people that are going to save Jasmine are, ironically enough, or save Tina, ironically enough, are Ayana, Brad, Rachel, and Veronica. And I believe, and I think Ace would have also saved. I think Ace would have also maybe saved Tina as well. But we didn't get to see Ace's vote because they stormed out after Ayana's speech. So Tina is gonna go in here. She's gonna get a lot of she's gonna get the votes from the rest of the house. And because Janelle withdrew from the show, Tina is going to have a chance to win a star of her own. Now, Laurel and Nicole, because they won the daily, have an option to go down there and get a star for themselves, but they're both going to pass and they're going to, just let the game run its course. Tina is going to go in and she's going to take Avery's star because she had talked to Avery about possibly voting on her side and she did not. And Avery said that she felt threatened by Tina in a way because the way that Tina was playing her social game was not vibing with Avery. And Veronica even mentioned that as well, as saying that, Tina was a bit abrasive in her approach to try to get these votes. And she's not the best political player, I think were her words. What do you think of the whole Avery versus Tina conflict in this episode?
I like it. I think it's a friendly. It's fun to see something else. It's something that you might not necessarily expect coming into the season. My thing is with Avery is that, like, listen, you're coming back from such a long layoff where, like, you don't know majority of these people. It's not a good look for you if you're already making enemies this early, especially with someone who has like such close allies right next to her.
Yeah, I think that, Avery, like I mentioned earlier, she's kind of a wild card, like a floater, if you will, with this particular cast. Maybe she'll end up siding with, some of the newer age players, the players in their 30s, like Nicole and Tony and Jay and those players that she's played with before. But she doesn't appear to be like super tied down to them. So she is kind of a swing vote of sorts. And maybe she will go and play with, a number of different groups. But it doesn't seem like she's going to be vibing with Tina, Rachel, and Veronica. So I think they showed that scene more so just to show why Tina would take Avery Starr over, say, over someone else's. I think her options were Kara or Avery and Rachel, and obviously she wasn't going to take Rachel. So between Kara and Avery, it made more sense that she would take Avery's star instead of Kara's. But yeah, that's going to be episode 2 for you. Any last thoughts before we sign off?
No, got nothing else except fuck Ayana. I hope she loses.
I mean, it seems like every season, Naveed, you've got to find someone to be anti.
Yeah, I mean, like, unfortunately, with one season, that person ended up being a winner for this season. So that was very unfortunate, and I had to take back my words. But this time around, fingers crossed, that's not Ayana.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see how the season goes. I'm really looking forward to the season, Naveed, not just because of a wonderful potential season we could have on our hands, but because we get to podcast about it together and talk about it the whole way through.
Hell yeah, brother. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. So that's going to be it for us this week. Thank you so much to those of you who are listening with us. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, because we also, in addition to our challenge coverage, we have Survivor 46 coverage, Amazing Race 36 coverage, and so much more. The Circle Season 6 starts later this month, so we'll be covering that, and so much more here at Reality Daily. So stick around, and we'll catch y'all next week for another episode of the Challenge All-Stars 4 Recaps. And until then, we'll see y'all on the flip side.